Welcome to This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for June 25th through the 1st of July 2011. This week, the Palestine Authority has pledged to continue with efforts to gain UN recognition for a Palestinian state irrespective of US and Israeli pressure. Also, Israel has been accused by organisers of sabotaging ships participating in the Freedom Flotilla 2. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Let us begin our weekly report as usual with the non-violent activities in the West Bank. With the details, Danny Jones.
Dozens retreated for the effects of tear gas inhalation on Friday as Israeli troops attacked the weekly anti-wall protests in a number of West Bank communities. This week, protests were reported in the villages of Al-Nabi Saleh, Bilin, and Nilin in the central West Bank, as well as Amasara in south. This week, the village of Bilin celebrated the removal of the wall on local farmers' lands. International and Israeli supporters joined the villagers and held midday prayers at the lands that Israel returned to the farmers. Later, a small festival was held by the villagers, and local men and women performed the Palestinian folklore dance, Dabka. As part of the new form of struggle, villagers decided to build one house on the freed lands to encourage villagers to start a new section of the village there. Residents of Bilin started to organize a weekly nonviolent protest against the Israeli wall 6.5 years ago. In September of 2007, the villagers continued protesting, and the legal proceedings managed to get the Israeli Supreme Court of Justice to order a halt to the wall construction. The court ruled for a rerouting of the section of the wall built on Bilin's land. Due to the ruling, the villagers got back 275 of the 600 acres Israel took for the wall and the nearby settlement of Modin Elite. In 2004, the International Court of Justice in The Hague ruled the Israeli wall illegal. In February of last year, after 2 years of stalling, the Israeli army began rerouting the wall by constructing a new one. Last week, the new wall was finished, and army bulldozers started to remove the old one, a scene that Bilin villagers were not accustomed to. Even with the peaceful nature of the Bilin protests, the army responded with violence, leading to fatalities. In January of 2010, Jawahir Abu Ramah was killed due to severe gas inhalation. Her brother Bassem was killed as well when an Israeli soldier shot him in the chest with a tear gas bomb in the April of 2009. Locals estimate that 1,400 people have been injured by the army fire in Bilin protests since they started, and as many as 140 people have been arrested. Near Bilin, one medic and one journalist were injured on Friday as troops attacked the weekly protest at the village of Al-Nabi Saleh. After the midday prayers, protesters marched to the settlement construction site, where troops attacked them with tear gas before leaving the village. One medic was hit with a gas bomb in his leg and an Israeli journalist in his arm. Troops later surrounded the village and searched cars leaving Al-Nabi Saleh. Also, in central West Bank on Friday, an anti-wall protest was held in the nearby village of Nilin, where the residents and their Israeli and international supporters held the Friday midday prayers near the Israeli wall. The protesters then marched up to the wall, marking the third year of their resistance against it. Troops fired tear gas at protesters, causing many to suffer from tear gas inhalation. In southern West Bank on Friday, villagers and their international and Israeli supporters protested against the wall and settlements in Al-Masara village near Bethlehem. Israeli troops stopped villagers from reaching the construction site of the wall and fired tear gas at them to force them back into the village. Many were treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. From IMEMC.org, this is Danny Jones.
Palestinian Authority said it would go ahead with the UN move to gain international recognition of a Palestinian state by September 2011. Meanwhile, some media leaks suggested that Washington is keen to prevent this from occurring. IMEMC's Rami Al-Ghamari has more.
Palestinian Authority's President Mahmoud Abbas said during a tour in some countries that his authority is determined to ask for an international recognition of a Palestinian state on 1967 borders unless Israel freezes all settlement activities on occupied Palestinian territories. The PA's determination comes on the heels of some Israeli media leaks this week, suggesting that U.S. is highly concerned about blocking the move at the UN. Israeli Ma'arif newspaper Hebrew Version reported that Washington's representative to the last meeting of the Quartet Committee for Middle East Peace passed a document to the meeting outlining Washington's parameters for current stalled Israeli-Palestinian peace process. The document indicates that Washington would push forward resumption of the peace talks based on President Barack Obama's address in May 19th, in which the U.S. president voiced backing to a Palestinian state of 1967 borders based on possible land swap between Israel and the PA. Israeli leaders, including PM Benjamin Netanyahu, reaffirmed this week Israel's refusal to the PA's efforts demanding an unconditional return to the negotiations table. From its part, the PA rejected the demand and conditioned halt of all settlements building on occupied Palestinian territories. Also, Israeli PM is reported to have been facing some external pressure, mainly from Washington's politicians and congressmen, in order for the latter to offer some concessions that would prevent the PA from reaching the UN's General Assembly by September 2011. On the internal Palestinian level, Hamas's senior Gaza leader, Dr. Mahmoud al-Zahar, said this week that current Hamas-Fatah dialogue over naming PM of an upcoming temporary Palestinian government has reached a deadlock. Al-Zahar's remarks went with some Arab and Palestinian media reports that hinted at both parties' inability to conclude an agreement 1 month after they signed a unity deal in Cairo. Their last deal was based on forming a new technocratic cabinet that is void of leaders from both parties. The would-be cabinet would prepare for general legislative and presidential elections in a period of 1 year. Rami Al-Mighari, IMEMC.org, Gaza.
This week, the Israeli military has attacked and arrested peaceful demonstrators and continued extensive abductions against elected Palestinian representatives, human rights workers and civilians. Organisers of the Freedom Flotilla 2 have held Israel responsible for sabotage on two of the participating ships, an act they claim was attempted murder. Israeli forces conducted 31 incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank, during which they abducted 21 Palestinians, including 7 children, a member of the Palestinian Legislative Council, a human rights defender and a journalist. On Saturday, June 25th, about 50 Palestinian, Israeli and international activists gathered in Beit Omar to demonstrate against the Israeli Karmei Tzur settlement, which has annexed hundreds of dunams of Palestinian land. The Israeli military violently attacked the demonstration, arresting one Palestinian and two internationals. Israeli soldiers kidnapped on Sunday at dawn 3 Palestinian children in Hebron, in the southern part of the West Bank, and took them to unknown destinations. Local sources reported that soldiers invaded Al-Arub refugee camp in Hebron, broke into and searched several homes before kidnapping Ibrahim Khaled and Mohammed Salama, both 16. Troops also invaded Sa'ar town, east of Hebron, and kidnapped Mohammed Bajis, 16, also. On Monday, June 27th, the Israeli army invaded West Bank communities and destroyed 72,000 metres of plastic irrigation networks in 2 separate instances near Hebron. Over the past years, Israeli forces have taken a series of measures against Palestinian civilians living in the area in an attempt to force them out of it. The area is one of the most fertile in the West Bank. On June 28, 2011, at approximately 11 o'clock, Israeli soldiers stationed in observation towers along the border between the Gaza Strip and Israel, to the east of Beit Hanun town, opened fire near a number of Palestinian civilians and international solidarity activists who were demonstrating in the east of Beit Hanun town. Hundreds of acres of olive orchards in Al-Mazra's Al-Gharabiya village were taken over by Israeli troops on Tuesday, who claimed that the area was a closed military zone and that the land was being confiscated for military use. Israeli soldiers kidnapped on Tuesday at dawn a Palestinian legislator, the head of a centre that defends the rights of Palestinian detainees, as well as a journalist. 11 Palestinians were kidnapped across the occupied West Bank during the raids. In Salfit, in the central part of West Bank, soldiers abducted Dr. Nasser Abdul Jawad of the Hamas Change and Reform Parliamentary Bloc after breaking into his house. According to activists on the Freedom Flotilla of aid ships to Gaza, a second boat has been severely damaged by unknown saboteurs who drove under the boat to damage the propeller shaft. The boat's captain said that the way the boat was sabotaged was extremely dangerous, as it would have caused the propeller to cut through the boat's hull and make the engine room fill with water, thus sinking the boat while en route to Gaza. Earlier this week, another of the flotilla's boats, a joint Norwegian-Swedish-Greek effort named Giuliano, after assassinated Israeli peace activist Giuliano Merchamis, was sabotaged in the same way while preparing for departure from a Greek port. That was just some of the news from this week in Palestine. For more updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This is brought to you by Hussam Cassis and me, Kevin Murphy.